Our first Bible reading this morning comes to us from Malachi chapter 2, the first 9 verses, and it's entitled, "The Lord Rebukes the Priests." Commencing then at verse 1, "And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart, to give honour to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I rebuke your offspring, and spread dung on your faces, and dung on of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts, and so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction." We then turn to Isaiah chapter 66, the verse 21. Isaiah 66, just the one verse. "And some of them also I will make for priests and for Levites, says the Lord." And then we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, the verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." This is the word of our Lord.
Our text verse is from Malachi 2, verse 5. Malachi 2, verse 5. "My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave to him, it was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name." And our topic, a royal priesthood that may proclaim the excellencies of the Lord. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, in Malachi, the Lord started his visits to the priest's quarter, or the temple. You've heard about it last week. Or we can say it's the overseers, the church council. And from there, he worked it, and he worked his way to the whole congregation. And he continued to work through the streets to all the people, and also our congregation this morning. And he asked us, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where's my honor?" That's Malachi 1. The priests thought they were serving the Lord when they offered the sacrifices. They thought they were keeping God alive. They believed that God could not exist without their sacrifices. But with these actions, they made a mere object of God. They were thinking they were keeping God alive with their service to him. The Lord saw this as a rebellion, and he calls to his priests Malachi 1 verse 6, where's my honor? And if I am a master, where's my fear? In chapter 2, the Lord continues this dialogue with his people. And he rebuked them and gave them a warning before he will shut the door of his temple. And he starts this rebuke with the priests. Who were the priests? Just to give a bit of an oversight, when the firstborns were spared in Egypt, when the angel of the Lord went and all the firstborns in Egypt were killed with the 10th plague, God claimed the firstborn of Israel to be his own. And he took the tribe of Levi to represent the firstborns. They were to be the Lord's. And although all Israel belonged to the Lord, the tribe of Levi was selected, appointed to the service of the tabernacle or the temple later. And of this tribe of Levi, chief among them, the house of Aaron, they were to minister as priests. They were set apart as the Lord's property, the priests and the Levites, and they lived only for divine service. And while the rest of Israel was busy with farming, their trades, lived among the city, the Levites were attending to the temple work, were slaughtering animals and offering them to God. This was normally done outside a temple, the slaughtering, to God's instruction. In Exodus 19, verse 14, because the animal still, as it read in Malachi 2, had still dung or excrement or manure in their systems. But the Lord said, the priests have polluted God's name. The Lord accused them by offering polluted food upon my altar. But you so, how have we polluted you by saying the Lord's table may be despised? When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? And so the people brought the first and the best animal to sacrifice to the Lord. Those animals they could spare, the weakest one, the least that would have died anyway. And then they expected God to be content. This was the attitude of the priests and the people. If the people just brought their sacrifices, but there's no love and honor for the Lord anymore, they were thinking they were keeping God alive with their service to him. They thought they were serving God when they offered the sacrifices. They believed that God could not exist without them. They had made a mere object of God. God is in a distance, they said. In chapter 2, the Lord is warning the priests to repent. And if they would not yield and repent and give honor to the Lord, he will curse them and their blessings. The sin was that they worshiped the Lord with only hollow formalism, legalism, out of tradition, not from the heart. And in their service, they have led God's people astray. The priests may have asked, but what blessing is in there? What's in for me to serve the Lord? Bring sacrifices for his name. For them, it just started to feel like work. And the routine began to be boring. Maybe it's our question as well. What blessing can there be to come every Sunday to the worship service, to use the Lord's Supper, to sing songs and to worship the Lord. We may say that the week was long and difficult. My children don't behave even in church. There's nothing in there for me. I had nothing to show most of the time. And sometimes we say, why can't they attend a more lively church? A church with less preaching. A church where I can feel less guilty. Because the guy up front is making me so guilt, feeling so guilty. Less repentance. More worship songs. A blessing is a gift from God. And it's a gift that comes with privileges. What blessings had God given the priests? Well, in addition to the normal blessings for the people of God, the rain, the crops, the families, the homes, peace in their time, their health, and all that, they were the blessings to serve the Lord as a priest. They were empowered by God to lead a worship service, teach the word of God, announce God's forgiveness of sins, to give full atonement with the sacrifices. They could eat from the offerings. They could dwell in the sanctuaries of the priestly cities. They could have had the respect of the congregation. Wonderful ministry because the Lord blessed them so much. But for the priests in Malachi, the worship of the Lord became formalism. Their hearts were not in the service anymore. They had no joy to worship the Lord anymore. And because of their leadership, they led the people astray. They did not call the people to repentance anymore. There was no atonement. No more announcing God's forgiveness. The Lord said, therefore, they were keeping him alive with their service to him. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we should take special note this morning. The church council, the leaders of the church, first, the Lord said that he would make his blessings a curse. This means that he would declare them unfit for their service. The Holy Spirit equips those who fill his office to be leaders, and through them enables the members of the church to grow in faith, develop mature Christian lives, serve others in selfless love, and share with all the people the good news of salvation. This is the task of church council. And has this principle changed in the New Testament church? No. In our office bearers, pastors, elders, and deacons, and the work they do, we should see the love of Christ for God's people. But what if your pastor, elders, or deacon are not doing this anymore? This was the situation in Malachi 2. What if there's no love for the Lord anymore? The Lord is clear. Then he will declare us unfit for our service. And the blessing to serve the Lord will then become a curse. And when the Lord is doing this, there will be no effective ministry. It will be if the Lord shuts the door of his temple. Or as Jesus said in Revelation 2 verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. What was the charge against the leaders? They did not honor the Lord's name. The priests thought they were doing fine. But Malachi says when God removes them from his service, they will know that the Lord did this, not the raging of some prophet. And it's a serious matter to attempt to speak for God or to minister in his name. And so the priests or leaders committed serious offenses against the Lord's honor. And according to John Piper, there were 5 offenses. And if you go from Malachi 2, the first one, verse 2, it's the failure to hear the word of God. The failure of the minister of the word to hear the voice of God. If you will not listen. This is a failure. Because you can't preach when you don't hear the Lord's voice. We need to pray for this. Also verse 2, a failure to have heart for God's glory. This is mentioned, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name. The third failure was that they are turning aside the ways of God. Their lives fell short of the standards of the truth they were supposed to teach and model. You see this in the first line of verse 8. You have turned aside from the way. The fourth failure is that the teachers showed partiality in their teaching. That's the last line of verse 9. You show partiality in your instruction. It means that the priests were treating the word of God the same way they were treating the sacrifices of God. You give God the sacrifices that will leave you with the most money. And you're keeping the most for yourself. A lot of churches in our times that are doing that. All about money. And you provide the people with the teaching that will bring in the most money. And it was causing many to stumble. This leads to the priesthood's fifth and final failure. The result of all the others, the middle of verse 8, you have caused many to stumble. Beloved, the prophet Malachi, the word of the Lord spoke to me as preacher in all seriousness. I must confess that preaching the difficult passages in the Lord's word is sometimes so difficult. To stand here in the pulpit and to preach. And I think any preacher of God's word wants to be loved, sometimes have a good pat on the shoulder and say, yeah, good. There's the temptation to ignore the difficult passages. Or also our elders. Think of that difficult house visit that you need to make. And you know it will cause unrest. And what if the people leave your church? Whose fault will it be? Relationships and friendships of many years that could be hurt. There could be the temptation to just ignore the situation. But it comes even closer as parents or grandparents. When we see negative behavior of our children, we want to excuse it and say, she'll be right, mate. In our own minds, you choose to ignore this, or you see the crumbles in your marriage, just ignoring this. So the Lord is telling us this morning that we need to be more obedient to him. And when we fail to bring his word, to have a heart for his glory, when we are turning his word aside and live as the world, show partiality in our teaching and cause others to stumble, he will send a curse upon us. That curse, chapter 1, he will close the temple. And so Jesus warned in Matthew 18, verse 4 to 5, when they brought a child to him, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little one who believes in me to sin, that's the same word for stumble, to stumble. It would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. So great is our responsibility towards the Lord. And it's such a beautiful blessing to be an office bearer, a parent. But the greatest responsibility, the Lord is asking accountability from us. And so the Apostle James explained in James 3, verse 1 and 2, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And so James did not tell us to not preach. It reminds us accountability and that we must realize that we must give account for our words. Because pastors, elders, deacons, parents, grandparents, husband and wife have such a significant impact on those they love. And when you do this, you must have knowledge, humbleness, be in prayer, respect for the word of God and our confessions. And we need your prayers, brothers and sisters, so that we can be more obedient to the Lord. That's the principle. It's not only office bearers, but only also you, brothers and sisters. So the Lord is also demanding his honor from you, his congregation. You are also in the priestly office as believer, calling to proclaim the excellencies of the Lord. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 we read, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God took Levites or priests for himself, and he chose us also to be his children. And he's doing this, according to Malachi 2, because of his covenant, the agreement that he made with Levi. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. That's the love relationship of God. God made his covenant to his priests in his love, and he provided also the perfect high priest, Jesus Christ, because of his covenant, because of the perfect atonement for all our sins, who was also sacrificed outside the city, Golgotha. And in him, the covenant of Levi was fulfilled. But Jesus was more than just a priest. He was also King of all kings, from the tribe of Judah, the Judahite king, the great high priest, the long-awaited son of David, the Messiah. He was both the perfect sacrifice, the perfect priest. He was the Lamb of God. John 1 verse 29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so the Apostle Peter explained to us how it all came together in Jesus. And that's 1 Peter 2. God explained what God has done in Jesus. How God's building, his temple, was fulfilled in Jesus, the high priest. That God is the master builder who works with an eternal plan, who has eternal insights. And God also explains, like the priests, Why certain stones in a building were chosen and others were rejected. God chose individuals, shaped them in Jesus as God's building. And Jesus is the cornerstone, the first stone, the high priest. And as we come to him, the living hope, God takes individuals, sinners, and shapes them in Jesus through a life of sanctification. And we were refined in him, are refined in him, and sanctified in him. And so the Lord chose you, brothers and sisters, Peter says, as part of the royal priesthood, to be his priests. He found you in you no natural fitness. You were rough stones. There was no suitability. But he decided in Isaiah 66 verse 21, and some of them I will take for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. We were saved out of grace alone because of the covenant of grace. We did not deserve this. Peter said, we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is evil. It's the world. Its Lord is Satan. Darkness gives no comfort. But the Lord chose us to be his priests. And we were guilty of treason against God, guilty of breaking every law. To such people, the Lord is saying, you are now my people. That's the meaning of church. From them, Jesus said in John 10, verse 28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. And the Lord says, you are called as priests to proclaim my excellencies. A royal priesthood, not of man, neither am I man, nor the will of man, blood or birth, only for God's choosing. And it means that you have the same calling now as pastor, elders, and deacons in Malachi 2. You are called to listen when the Lord calls. You are called to repent when the Lord speaks through his word. You must honor him in gratitude. Gratitude, do what he demands. You should not be deceived into formalism, debt, cult, routine, tradition, but also not in liberalism, to do as you want. The Lord will take no pleasure in this. No, the Lord demands his honor and trust from you as a child, and as a child, trust his father. You must serve him as he requires, in love, in gratitude, through his word and spirit. What a priest's word to the people are supposed to the world, teachers of God's word. This is you, brother and sister. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 made us clear, go into the world and make disciples. Disciples are learners. We are the teachers now. And Christians, especially if they have been Christians for some time, must know the word of God and be able to teach it, live it, so it may influence people towards righteousness in Jesus. Beautiful calling to proclaim the excellencies of the Lord, to be salt of the earth, the light on the hill, his church. And the Lord called you to do this, to proclaim his excellencies. The good news that he gave his son. And he's encouraging you this morning to give honor to his name, to serve him as he wants to be served according to his words. But there's also a warning for you, people of the Lord. when your love of him grows cold, and when we do not serve him as he demands according to his word, he will remove our lampstand from its place. He will shut the doors of the temple. We are serving a gracious Father who gave his son as high priest to die for our sin. Let us listen to him. Let us serve him. Let us love him. Let us trust him. Let us take his word to a heart today and give him his honor. Amen. Let us pray to the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, your prophet came to your people, your prophet Malachi, and your spirit, that we need to take heart of your words, that we should not be deceived by the world into cold formalism or tradition, but also not in liberalism. Not only do what you command us to do, what you instruct us to do, and you set an example through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the High Priest, was given as a reconciliation for our sins. And you called your people to proclaim your excellencies, to be teachers of your words. You called us as parents to instruct our children, as husbands and wives, to love one another. You gave us so much, Lord. You gave your Son. Lord, we thank you for your word that calls back to you. And we know it's love. Because as sheep, we want to wander. But you call back. And we know that sheep will listen to the great shepherd's voice because they know him. We pray for every member in your church. We pray for your universal church. We pray for pastors that they will hear the Lord's voice. They will preach as you command them. We pray for our elders to serve you, to minister the kingly office. We pray for our deacon to minister the priestly office, to show your love, the love that you showed to us. We all pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.